to steal
and kill.
See you again
next week.
And destroy us. But I have come that I may give life and life more abundantly. Mm-hmm. The church has been so busy working on holding the devil back. Not to take this, not to do that. Or whatever he can do to destroy us. We've been working on that so much that we need to be like the football team. Where they have a group of people that go out for the defense, mm-hmm. for the pushing back the devil or the other side. Mm-hmm. But we, the church, is turning into an offensive person right now. I seen that this morning. I seen it's like little fires starting mm-hmm. here and there this morning. All the work that different people are doing. And I really feel that the fire has been lit this morning here. And it's just starting. And we need to be that overcomer, the offensive. Mm-hmm. Okay, no more letting, don't worry about the devil. He's been already defeated, hasn't he? Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So we need to be the offensive one. Get out there. That person needs healing, pray for him. That one needs deliverance, pray for him. Mm-hmm. It can be done. And that's what God wants to do. The time is short, and we need to step up to the plate.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good word. All righty. Oh, we're in good shape. We got good time. Turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Beginning with verse 1, let's begin reading. Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that you do not know will hasten you to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil men his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, see, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy. You'll be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you. All the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree. Instead of the briars, the myrtle tree will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign, which will not be destroyed. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word today. We ask, Lord, that you would speak through me. I would be your vessel today. Lord, I pray that I set aside all my thoughts, all my desires, all my wishes. And Lord, I long to be that one that speaks directly that which you are saying. I long to say what you say so that the words of life can flow into the dry places And it can begin to overtake that which is already growing, which isn't possibly of you. Lord, I just pray that today there's just a continuation of the work that needs to be done in my heart and this church body. Lord, we look forward to watching you do what you do best. It truly is a joy and a pleasure to serve you and to honor you today. May you be glorified and edified, and may you be lifted high above all things in my life and this congregation's life, that nothing else will matter but you today. So, Father, we thank you and praise you for that. Lord, we just pray that your word will go forth and accomplished like it said, exactly what it's meant to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord, I really believe the Lord is just throwing out another invitation to those that are hungry and thirsty for the lore of the Lord. Hungry and thirsty for Him. This is an invitation to those that are hungry. And you know, I don't know about you, but do you ever have those seasons where you just can't get enough of something in the natural? You like to eat it, and you could eat it and eat it and eat it. It's kind of like potato salad in summer. It's like, winter it's okay, but in the summer it's just like, man, that tastes good, especially if it's Grandma Carolyn's. If you haven't had it, too bad. But the reality is that God wants us to be hungry for Him. He wants us to be thirsty for Him. And in the process of being hungry and thirsty, He'll continue to pour out over and over again things that will continue to satisfy you and bring that contentment and bring that fulfillment that when you're done eating, it's like, man, that was good. And God knows how to do that spiritually more so than even what we know in the flesh. And I believe He's really wanting to begin to narrow down some things in our lives by saying what He says this morning. He says, come to me, or come all who are thirsty. Notice those that aren't thirsty, He doesn't give them the invitation. Those who are thirsty, He gives them the invitation. Which means if you and I hunger and thirst after Him, guess what's going to happen? We're going to find Him. Matthew 5:5 says, it's one of the Beatitudes, He says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now that's not just a one-time filling, that's a continual filling of what God has, because Psalms 46, I believe, says, out of the throne room of heaven flows a river that never runs dry. And why does it never run? Because there should be a continual longing of my life to long and want whatever He's pouring out of His river. Obviously, from God's standpoint, He knows what you needed yesterday is not enough for tomorrow. You see, sometimes we think that no matter how much God feeds me, well, that should last me a long time. Well, no. There's very similar things that happen from the Old Testament to the New. When the nation of Israel was brought out of bondage, out of Egypt, out of sin, what did He tell them to do? Go out and pick up manna every day except for the Sabbath. So the reality was is that they went out and they had to pick up what they needed for that day. And if they picked up too much, it rotted. It wasn't of any value. Isn't that interesting? There's no reason for you to continually read more and more if you're not going to use what you already have. It'll just spoil and rot. That's why God wants you and I to come to Him on a daily basis where we hunger and thirst and we long for Him. And every day we can be filled. Why? Because every day, if I need rest for every day, if I need food for every day, if I need wisdom for every day, God knows that I need His Word for every day. Because what I need today, I can receive in a matter of seconds as I'm walking through life. I can receive what I need to know so that what is ready to be poured out of me that day, those morsels you give out on that day is going to be important, Josie. It's not just that you can scatter seed out and think it's just going to land wherever. That's why when we come together on Sundays, I'm asking God for a specific word for here, because His seed, His word, has the ability and the potential to land in my heart and yours so that it begins to grow and water and fertilize by the truth of God's word so that it begins to bear fruit in season. Have you ever seen an apple tree bear in the middle of winter? Up here? course not. Why? Because it's out of season. When God deals with the church, we got to realize God has seasons of what He wants done. And if we're not aware of the seasons, you could be dressed in a snowsuit when it's summer. And everybody around you is going to go, what's up with them? Why are they dressed like that? Well, the world is continually looking at the church and saying, why are they doing that? How come they do this? Because they don't understand. And if we're presenting a season that God is not in, then the world is going to look at the church and go, glad I don't go there. Why? Because it's not in the right season. But He says, if we come to Him, we will receive and we'll find what we need out of this river that never runs dry. And it's an invitation by God. He says, why spend money on things that don't satisfy? Do you realize, have you ever noticed lately that you might not have the desire that you had about 6, 8, 12 months ago? There's a reason for that. Because God is getting the church body ready to do things that need to be done because of what's coming. And if you and I have all this baggage of life in our hands, we're so full of what we want to do that when we come to God, He says, well, I'd like to do something too through you, but guess what? I can't because your hands are full. And God is waiting for us to empty out of some of the things, not all of them, some of the things that absolutely will not benefit me. And I have experienced that over the last 3 years. God has continually whittled things out of my hands that I don't need anymore. And I'm so thankful He has. Because if I tried to carry them all to this day now, I'd be so bogged down, I'd be what they call burnout. And how many of you know God never calls you to burn out for Him? Never will He do that. He's not going to burn you out. He's not going to ask you to do things that will destroy you and destroy what's going on. That's impossible. Paul never talked about burnout, did he? I mean, you look at that man dead, and he never talked about burnout. And you and I don't even have to heal up from our wounds. He got beaten how many times of inches of his life, and he still went out and did whatever God asked. He didn't complain about being too busy or complain about being so consumed with life that he couldn't do what God asked. That very same thing needs to become a part of my life. That what God is asking me to do, I am stepping into whatever it is when He wants me to step into it. Key word is when. God will specifically give you instructions of how to orchestrate your day. A few months ago, the Lord asked me to read a book a day out of the scripture. I'm just thankful it wasn't Psalms. But He asked me to read a book a day. I did that for 2.5 weeks. Do you know in that 2.5 weeks, I hardly ever had anybody call? I didn't have any funerals. I didn't have anything interrupt. God paved the way for the instructions that He had for my life. God is going to do the very same things for you when we make room, when we declutter our lives of things that He's asking us to declutter. We make room, all of a sudden He can begin to speak and I can walk into whatever He's asking. Why? Because my hands are free from all the things God doesn't need. And when I free up my life from all the things God doesn't need, I can come to Him and say, Lord, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I want to know what You want for this day, and I can receive it. And then as I receive it, it's never too much, it's never too bulky, it's never too heavy, it's never too light, it's always just right, so that I can dole it out on a regular basis throughout that day of whoever needs it. Here's the key. Don't give it when it's not needed. You ever gone to the doctor and got something that you didn't need? Yeah. Well, some of you young enough probably never been to the doctor, which is good. Just those old timers have been there. But I mean, or you gone to the grocery store and you bought too much of one thing and you didn't need it? What do you do with it? And sometimes you end up throwing it away because you didn't use it. So God isn't asking us to take of this river and to have so much of Him that I just dump the whole load on Him. I don't care how much you need. You might have needed only a drop, but here's the whole load. No, because all that does is weighs him down. Be careful how much you say. Be careful how much you give out. Because if you give too much, what are they going to do with it? They only needed the one morsel. You ever, I don't know if you ever heard this or not, but preacher got up one Sunday and there was only one guy in the audience that day in the church. Nobody else showed up but him. Well, the pastor being the pastor thought, well, we might as well go through it all. So he went through the whole service and got done and came up to the man and said, well, how'd you think I did? He says, well, he says, having cattle, I says, being a farmer, he says, if I've only got one cow that comes up to eat, I don't give them the whole load. And you know, there's some wisdom in that. Sometimes we like the scatter. We like the shotgun ministry. Woom, 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 and let her buck. Where it lands, who cares, just as long as it gets out there. And it's like, no, that's a waste of your seed. Don't be wasteful. Because the seed on the path didn't grow. The seed in the rocky places didn't grow. The seed in the seed in the path didn't grow. The other seeds grew a little bit but died out because of the surroundings. So if you and I aren't careful of how we scatter this word, this truth that God has laid in our heart, if I don't become a good steward of what He's given, that I can dole out to Nathan exactly what he needs when he needs it, then I can be wasteful with what God has given me. I won't be a good steward of His word. And I tell you what, I love evangelism and I love all that, but sometimes I think we miss so much of what God is saying because we haven't heard His voice. We've just caught on a method that, well, this is what worked in Chicago, this is what worked in Florida, this is what worked over in Russia, and this is, so what? What is God saying now, today, for you? Because if you can't hear His voice, you're in trouble. If you don't know what He's saying, you're in trouble. Why? Because you might scatter too much and waste a whole bunch of seed that was meant for somebody down the road. So you and I have to learn to come to Him and buy from Him without money and without cost. And He says, verse 2, why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? So in other words, my life can be so consumed with so many good things. We've talked about this before. I can go over here and I can help here. I can go here and do this. And I can go here and do this. And I can go here and do this. And by the end of the day, when God wants my attention, I'm going, more, Lord? You mean I have to do more? No. Because He never told me to go there. He never told me to go there. He never told me to go there. He only told me to go here. You see, that's such a foreign concept to us, but God isn't wasteful. We've made our biblical understanding of God this scatter mentality. Just get all the seed we can out there. Just scatter it. Just scatter it. Just throw it out there. Just, you know, I've never known a farmer to do that, have you? Other than maybe a little end gate out of the back end dripping some along on the highway, and what's that do? That doesn't produce a harvest. Right. But you see, the reality is God has specific things He wants to do. We're entering a day and age where God has specifics. There's things that He absolutely needs every day done so that what needs to be done gets done, because He's, even here He said, why spend money on what does not satisfy? So, I'll tell on myself just a little bit more. There have been things that I've wanted, that I've bought, that God never told me to buy. And you know, when I go to sell it, He won't let me sell it. He asked me to give it away. And I'm going, okay, Lord, that's probably not good financially managing. He says it wasn't good financial managing when you bought it either. Why spend money on what does not satisfy? If it's not a part of God's plan, don't waste your time. Now that might be a new thought to you, but you got to remember this. I'm His. And every day He has things that He wants me to do specifically for Him. And if I start inviting a bunch of things of life so much into my life that He doesn't have any need for just because I want it, what's He going to do with that? It doesn't minister to Him, and it doesn't minister to anybody else. Am I telling you today to go home and sell or give away everything you got? Absolutely not. I'm telling you what God told me for my life. God might give you the grace or the mercy to go sell everything that you've bought that He doesn't need anymore, and it'll be a blessing to you. But for me, this is what He's asked me. Am I hurt by it? Not at all. I'm learning a good lesson of listening. Not to buy anything unless God gives me the go-ahead, because He knows what I need. He knows what's necessary. Does that mean that you should never progress in life and you should never build, let's just say you started out with a little two-wheel drive car that just barely ran, and next thing you know, you got a little two-door sporty little thing, and next thing you know, you got a nicer four-door car, and pretty soon you got this nice big truck that you always wanted. Does that mean God will never do that? Didn't say that at all. That might be a part of the plan of what God wants for you. Because you'll touch people wherever you buy. So that's not saying that at all. All I'm saying is this. Whatever God is saying, tune in. Tune in. Because if that's what He wants you to do, that's great. Because what God asked me to do, He's not asking you to do. Why spend money and time on things that God does not need? Verse 3. Or verse, second part of 2. Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul, that's your mind, your will, and your intellect, your soul will delight in the richest affair. I bought a chainsaw not too long ago, brand new. I was tired of fixing the one I had. So I thought, I'm just going to go buy one. So I did. It was great. Cut every time, started every time, didn't have to. That was great. A young man came along and the Lord told me to give it to him. The oil, the gas jug, the whole kit, caboodle. And I'm going, so where am I going to get the wood, Lord? And so I did. I ended up giving it to him. A week later, somebody gave me a car. I didn't ask for the car. And I'm not saying just because you give something away, you'll get something bigger. That's not my point. What my point is, God knew I needed the car. But in the process of getting what I needed, I had to get something out of the way that I had. And that's really what life is really all about, is getting stuff out of the way that God doesn't need anymore, and then He'll give you the things that you do need. And the blessings that He does bring will be exactly what you need for your situation. If you desire a car just because I got a car, that's wrong. Find out what God wants and needs for you. Find out what is God wants to do in your life, because if you and I learn to hear God's voice, that's what's going to take place. So He says, well, don't spend money and don't do, but listen and do what God is asking you to do. Verse 3, give ear and come to Him. Hear that your soul may live. Did you catch that? Hear what He's saying so that your soul, your mind, your will, your intellect is not weighed down by the cares of this life, and that you may live. What is, even Joan talked about living. Everywhere I've been reading lately, I've been seeing that word live. How am I supposed to live? How am I going to live out what God has taught me? Well, the only way that can happen is if everything is out of my hands and allowing God to only put in there what needs to be there so I can be what He wants me to be and do what He wants me to do. And if I do that, guess what's going to happen? God is going to be honored. God is going to be blessed. He's going to be praised. He's going to be glorified. And He's going to begin to reach people all the way around you. That's His goal, is to reach people. If He gets you in the process, that's awesome. that He gets you and gets your desires and gets your ways, so that when people do look at you, there's a distinction between how you live and how the world lives. That's the difference. God is looking for a distinction between what the world does and what the body of Christ does. And there should be a vast difference, because God is not being heard by the world. The world is not hearing God. They're not listening to God. They don't care. They don't give a rat's behind what He says. They only like to apologize when it gets too heavy. And then they continue to live on. But God is asking the believers, us as believers, to live, and there should be a distinction. If we give God our ear, we should be able to hear what He's saying. And then came that covenant. He says, I will make a covenant with you, my faithful love, promised to David. So God makes a covenant. It's a contract of He'll always do His part, and we have to do ours. What is our part? Jump down to verse 6. Seek the Lord while He may be found, call on Him while He is near. Gives you the idea that maybe one day He might not be too close. Don't wait for a someday to call on His name. Call on Him while He's here. He was here this morning. You could almost feel it. I hate to go by feelings, but you could. In the Old Testament, when Solomon was building a temple, after he had built this temple like God wanted, they went in to do their sacrifices to the Lord, and the presence of God came so thick that they couldn't even see what they were doing. God's glory came down. Can you imagine? I look forward to that day when that happens here. When His glory comes down, and I don't see the offense I have with my brother, I see the glory. I don't see the hatred that I have for my brother. I can see the glory. I don't see the fear of whatever is going on in our world. I don't see that fear. I see the glory of God. And when the glory of God comes down, guess what happens? Everything God desires. Because we've given Him room to do what He wants in His tabernacle. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and He will have mercy on him. And to our God He will freely pardon. Then he goes on. I have to quickly get up to verse 10, so let's just keep reading. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. So don't expect things to stay the same if you've chosen to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. God will always change the way He does things. You cannot say, well, I've never done it like that before. Well, guess what? You're under new management. When you're under new management, you should anticipate some changes. The devil's not your taskmaster anymore. Jesus Christ is your King, Lord, and Master, and He can't wait to lead you. He can't wait to empower you. He can't wait to give you everything you need so that you can live this life successfully in God's kingdom, in this world, so that, guess what? You can do what God created you to do. So he says, verse 10, I'm just going to jump, you can read in between. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it, without watering the earth and making it bud or flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from your mouth. What should come out of your mouth? What should come out of your mouth? You were right the first time, the word. It's not a second guessing, because what happens is when God spoke the word, there was life. When you and I speak the word, we speak life. When Art needed healing today, we spoke healing, life to him. And we anticipate highly today that you walk in health. That you get a clean bill of health. Not because of us, but because of the Word. There's power in the Word. And when we speak the Word, I mean, Jesus spoke things into existence. He spoke trees into existence. He spoke water into existence. He spoke all these things in existence. And as He spoke to them, they just were. Well, the Bible says we have the power of life and death in the tongue. Why? Because that's how God does things. He asks us to speak His word. And when we speak His word, It's powerful stuff that God has given. So he says, so is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. If you, I believe the King James says void. It will not return to me empty. So when I take the word of God and I portion it out, however God asked me to portion it out, I can anticipate that word doing something in him because his word is life. My opinion stinks. My thoughts are not anywhere close to the kind of thoughts that he has. So why would I give my opinion when I can give his word and get a better return? And that's exactly what God desires out of me. He desires that out of, I just gotta look, sorry. I got nursing home, so you're in luck. I'll be done in just a little while. He desires his word to be spoken. Why? So that it can produce a harvest. If I just give my opinion, God looks at it and says, well, what am I supposed to do with that? Think about it. We think pretty highly of our opinion sometimes. Just look at Facebook once in a while. Our opinions are awesome. We get likes because of our opinion. And God's going, and what do I do with that? How does that build the kingdom? You go to the local gas station and have conversation with those that are sitting around and you give your opinion. And God says, what does that do for me? When we have the potential, we have the power to take the word of God and to portion that out so that the word goes out of my mouth and it will not return to me empty or void. Isn't that amazing that God's word can go forth and produce a harvest? So why do we rely on anything else but his word? When it comes time to doling out life, why do we rely on my opinion and why do I rely on other things when all I really have to do is portion out the word of God? And you might have to be a little bit crafty. You can't just say, well, you know what the word of God says. No. Today you can't use that anymore. There's a whole ton of people that haven't picked up their Bible for years and they have no clue even some of the simplest stories in the Bible. So don't ever put anybody in that place. Don't ever say, well, you know what it says. No, pretty good chance they don't. Say, well, the other day while I was reading about this story about Jonah and the big whale, well, I shouldn't say it wasn't a whale, it's a big fish. And, you just start doling out portions of what you know so that they can grab a hold of what God has given you. Because if you and I give out what they don't understand, what good is that for them? So as the word goes out of his mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So in other words, there's a plan, there's a mission plan in this word that if I become a good steward of his word, I can dole out portions of it to those that need it and watch it begin to produce what God intended. But if I just give you my opinion, yeah, that's what I was thinking. So what? And we've tried to give our opinion to the world and are going, and? But if you give God's word, you give them a seed, and that seed might not take root for a while, but one day it will. And when that seed begins to go, guess who they're going to call? They're going to probably call you if you're still around and say, you know, you talked to me about something a while ago. I got a question. Pretty soon, all of a sudden, they become very interested and desiring of what you long for. So as the rain and the snow come down naturally and water the earth and make it bud and flourish so it yields. Think about that pattern. That's the pattern for God's word. The word goes forth, it waters, and it flourishes, and it buds, and it produces a harvest. When God's word goes forth as a seed, it grows, it sprouts, it buds, it produces a harvest. Why? Because it does the same thing as the rain and the snow does for us. Same pattern, same principle. So we have to become good at using what God has given us. And we really, have to tune in to hear what God's saying every day. every day. Tune in to hear what he's saying because he can't wait to talk to us. Look what happens when that takes place. Verse 12. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. I would love to see that. Instead of the thorn bush, instead of the thorn bush, the pine tree. Instead of the briars, the myrtle tree will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. So do you realize that when you and I speak the Word of God, no matter what's growing, it has the potential, what I speak out of God's Word, to overcome that which is already growing. It's kind of like leafy spurge. Leafy spurge, when it is planted, has the potential to grow its roots so deep that no matter what's growing around it, it outlasts all the other things around it. Because the seeds pop out and land on the ground, begin to grow roots, and they continually overtake that which is natural. I've never seen grass overtake leafy spurge, but I've seen leafy spurge overtake grass, anything else that grows around it. Why? Because the roots are so deep. When you and I are engrafted into the vine of Jesus Christ, His roots go so deep. There is so much life in Him that no matter what happens, it's bound to grow. That's why believers should never be the same. We should have a continual growth process that God begins to grow in us and bear fruit in us time and time again. Why? Because we're hooked up to the life vein. And when the life vein produces in us a crop yielding 30, 60, even 100-fold, well, guess what? What am I going to do with that? Give it away. You start handing it out where God asks you to hand it out, because He doesn't produce it to waste it. He produces it so you can give it away. And if you're scared to give it away, get unscared. I don't know how else to tell you. Because when it grows inside of you so much, you can't wait to give it away. It's the best thing going. You're not concerned about people's opinion. You're more concerned about being obedient to God. Because if we're not concerned about Him more than I am about who's around me, I'm in trouble. I'll never say much. But we have to become so consumed with what God has done inside of me. Whatever's growing inside of me becomes so consuming because I go day after day after day, after day, after day. In fact, if you don't do devotions on Sunday, you might be missing something. Just because I doled out some word to you today doesn't mean that takes the place of your devotional time. I used to do that. Pastor Dave was great. I didn't have to read. He read so much for me, I didn't even. But it didn't help me. I just took off of his plate. I only took off what He doled out. But in the process, God wants me to go into His time with Him and get out of Him everything I can get. Why? Because God has a plan for that seed to grow inside of me so much that what grows inside of me becomes fruitful so that I can pluck it off. And when I see Dan and he needs some encouragement, I've got all kinds of encouragement already stored up because I was with him. And I'm not clueless to what God needs because I know what He wants. So as His Word goes forth, it produces things that couldn't be produced any other way. So, I pray that you and I desire to get into God's Word so much that it produces in me. And as it produces in me, I learn to portion out that which God has given me to those around me. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank You and praise You for the privilege and the joy of knowing what it is to know Your voice, to know what You're saying, to know Your Word. And Lord, as we know those things, just to know what to do with what You've given us. Lord, I pray today that each of us learns over and over again the desire of your heart for every day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that your word does not return void. But Lord, in learning how to dole out the word of God, I pray that that's where we become skilled believers. Skilled at being able to say what you're saying and not just say it just because that's the latest thing I thought of. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see and hear. Jesus went about doing everything that the Father asked him. A perfect example of someone who learned how to dole out exactly what the Father desired. Lord, help us to be like Jesus. Help us to be like Jesus. We love your word, Lord, and we love what you're doing. And we desire that you have your way continually in each one of our lives this day. And Lord, we're going to take communion this morning. The Bible says it's a reminder of everything that Jesus did. And Lord, I pray that as we take communion, it'll be a remembrance of all that you did, physically, spiritually, emotionally. Every part of it, to be reminded of the life, the death, and the resurrection that Jesus Christ brings to our life. So Lord, thank you for your word that reminds us in Isaiah 53 that you took our sorrows, you took our pains, you took our sicknesses, our diseases, you took all those things for us. You brought peace of mind, you bring freedom from bondage. You bring protection through the blood and the Word of God. There's so much that you bring to us each and every day. You forgive us of our sins. You wash us clean with the blood. And the blood of Jesus Christ covers our sin for eternity, that it'll never be remembered again. Lord, we're thankful for that. And so, Lord, I ask that you would just continue to minister. Continue to minister to us as we partake of a wonderful reminder of everything that you did for us. And may it be an inspiration to help us to lead our lives the way you want it led. Thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name. This morning, let's see, Lloyd, would you come and help me and Brad? If you guys want to just grab one of those each, please. We're just going to have you step out of your seat and come and walk, grab and go back to your seat, and you can partake as you desire. If you feel you're ready to partake, it's good to do that. If you feel like you need to make something right with someone, just stay right up front here. We'll have people come right by. But if you feel like you need to make something right with the Lord, do that before you come. That'd be a good thing to do. The Bible says, examine your heart, make sure it's right with God. You don't want to take communion wrongly or in a wrong way. So let's just take a second of your time this morning. We've already kind of been through some of this morning. But it's so important. What this represents is powerful, powerful stuff. You know that you can be healed as you partake of communion? There's the power is the reminder of what Jesus purchased was healing as well as peace of mind, love, joy, strength, awesome power of every kind. So we're just excited about being able to partake and be reminded once again. So if you would come up and partake, take one cup, take a bread and head back to your seat. You can take when you get back there. If you're unable to come, we'll come to you. So as soon as we're done, we'll come back to you if you aren't able to come up. So we'll start in the front row over here. We'll do this side. Then we'll have you all come from the back, and then the middle will come up, and then this side. So just come through and go back around and go back to your seat, if you would. Thank you, Lord. Should I get one for Ann, or are you going to get one? Okay. While they're doing that, just be reminded of everything Jesus did. If you haven't pulled out Isaiah 53, it's always a good chapter to look at. Thank you, Lord. Moms and dads, bring your kids if you'd like. If they just if they're not ready for communion, just have them come through anyway. Get them used to doing what you do. Yes, yes, yes. Praise you. If you feel like you're not ready for communion today, there's nothing wrong with that. Just stay seated and just talk to the Lord about whatever it is He wants to talk to you about. Always appreciate people's honesty. Thank you, Lord. Heaven and earth, choice is holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the blood that you shed for us. That covers our sin and washes us clean and purifies us in a righteous life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for salvation, Lord. Come to save us from our sin. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Anybody need us to bring it to you? If you weren't able to walk or something, we'd be glad to bring it to you. Okay? Oh, sorry. If you haven't partaken, let's take of the bread. Remember, this is the bread that was body was broken for us. Thank you, Lord, for what was broken, bruised, beat upon for us. Thank you that you are the bread of life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the same way, he took the cup. Let's drink of the cup. Thank you, Lord. Lord, what a great reminder of everything that you've done through your life of Jesus Christ. May we be inspired this day by the work that Jesus did so that we can walk out these doors and make a difference. Help us to minister to those that are around us on a daily basis, portioning out that which is daily fed to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunities you're going to bring before this body today, this next week, this next year, that the opportunities they're going to have to portion out that which you've taught them so that the world can be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the caring God of who you are. The ministering God of healing and delivering and setting free so that people can be set free from the enemy's clutches and be just laid into the arms of Jesus Christ to be held and to be led and to be guided and to be empowered. And Lord, what a great privilege it is. Thank you, Lord God, that you're so good. You are good. You are good. You are good. We love you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen, amen. Well, God's blessing to you. It's been a pleasure to have you all come. And oh, the offering. Yeah, forgot about that. Guys, you want to do this? You want to, Brandon, and you want to help me? Either somebody, it don't matter who. Give with a cheerful heart. Thank you for reminding me. Aren't you glad?